Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. If you're watching this right now, you are missing a rare primetime address from Joe Biden. Biden doesn't give a lot of those for obvious reasons, but tonight's topic is worthy of the occasion. America, ladies and gentlemen, is under attack, and not from our usual enemies. The threat we face tonight is existential, but it's not coming from barefoot religious extremists living in caves. It's not the Chinese government. It's not even Vladimir Putin himself, the most diabolically evil man in history. No, ladies and gentlemen, this threat is worse than all of that, and it's homegrown. As they say in the horror movies, it's coming from inside the house. The single gravest threat to America today is Republican voters, all 75 million of them. They are Nazis and destroyers of democracy. They must be stopped. That is the message of Joe Biden's speech. Just moments ago, he referred to MAGA forces. We're apparently marshaling at Red Lobster near you, ready to take over this country. Now, to underscore how deeply Joe Biden means all of this, tonight's address in Philadelphia is not being categorized as a campaign event ahead of the midterm elections, which is what it looks like. No. Instead, this speech has the full sponsorship of the White House. In other words, what Joe Biden is saying right now is the official position of the entire executive branch of the U.S. government. That would include the Justice Department, the various intel agencies, and the world's most powerful standing military. Think about that. Does it make you nervous? You don't have to be a Trump voter to see a speech like this as a turning point in American history. For hundreds of years, the U.S. has had a political system comprised of two competing parties. If you were to declare one of those parties criminal and illegitimate, what would you be left with? Well, you'd be left with a one-party state, and that is what Joe Biden is calling for tonight, a one-party state. It's shocking. You may have trouble believing it's even happening, and yet it is, live on television right now. And yet, and here's what we're here to tell you, believe it or not, there is an upside to this catastrophe. Even as you watch your beloved country take a turn you never imagined possible, there is reason for hope. American liberals may have obvious dictatorial ambitions. There's no question they do. Only would-be dictators fear free speech and an armed population. But just because liberals long for a one-party state doesn't mean they're going to get one. They won't. In the end, they don't have the skills to pull that off. Liberals are too incompetent to overthrow democracy. And that's obvious from history. Every successful authoritarian revolution has had two things in common: a coherent worldview and a competent military force. Lenin, for example, Lenin had the writings of Karl Marx to provide an ideological justification for his revolution. And he had the military genius of Leon Trotsky to pull it off. Together, these two things were enough to topple the Tsar and take control of the world's biggest country. For all his power, Joe Biden does not have these two things. Marx and Trotsky? No. Joe Biden has Taylor Lorenz and Mark Milley. Lorenz is the ideological anchor of the Biden White House. She's its muse, its Che Guevara. They are inspired by her revolutionary fervor. But Taylor Lorenz does not write weighty books. Twitter is her canvas. And having surveyed her oeuvre, we can tell you that Lorenz's main idea appears to be that anyone who doesn't wear an N95 mask in the shower is a racist. That's the sum total of her ideology. Now, there are probably several dozen people in Cambridge who agree with that, but it is hardly the basis of a popular movement. It's not Marxism, it's whining. So that's a problem for Biden. And then there's Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Milley is Joe Biden's Leon Trotsky, but without the brilliance or the cool mustache. Mark Milley is a buffoon. He couldn't even manage to successfully withdraw forces from a country that wanted them to leave. Mark Milley's only victories take place at lunch. Pizza is afraid of him. No one else is. So these are the people who are trying to bring us a one-party state. For the next several minutes, we'd like to show you the face of Joe Biden's revolution. It is heartening. The next time you feel afraid for the future of this country, the next time you think, these people actually want to hurt me, because obviously they do, remember who we're talking about here, and you'll feel better. Now, we're going to start tonight with Joe Biden's Minister of Information, a person called Karine Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre may be the most self-discrediting spokesman in the history of revolutionary politics. She makes Baghdad Bob from the Saddam years look dignified. She's literally beyond belief. Here she was on Monday.
Somebody unvaccinated comes over on a plane. You say that's not okay. Somebody walks into Texas or Arizona unvaccinated, they're allowed to stay. Why?
But that's not how it works. Like, we actually, no.
I know that that's not what you guys want to happen, but that is what is happening.
But that's not, it's not like somebody walks over and that's not how.
That's exactly what's happening. Thousands of people are walking in a day. Some of them turn themselves over. Some of them are caught. Tens of thousands a week are not. That is what is happening.
It's not like someone just walks over the border. Karine Jean-Pierre laughs at that idea and waves her hand. So there are two options to explain what's going on here. Either Karine Jean-Pierre doesn't have a television set and has no idea what's happening in America right now. That's entirely possible. Or, we think this is more likely, she has seen the tape but just doesn't recognize what it is. She cannot discern people just walking over the border when she sees pictures of people just walking over the border. That's possible. She is that stupid. Want another example? Well, here she is, apparently with total sincerity, assessing a recent speech by Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida.
And just last week, you had Governor Ron DeSantis suggested that Dr. Fauci should be physically assaulted. And former President Trump has done the same many, many times.
Whoa, she looks concerned. And frankly, so are we. Whatever you think of Ron DeSantis, if he's calling for Dr. Fauci to be physically assaulted, that cannot stand. That is bad. That's violence. But of course, the question is, and it's always the question with Karine Jean-Pierre, is did that actually happen? Thankfully, we have the tape. Here it is.
You have people like Fauci saying that his lockdowns didn't cause any permanent damage to any young kids. And I'm just sick of seeing him. I know he says he's going to retire. Someone needs to grab that little elf and chuck him across the Potomac.
There it is. Someone needs to grab that little elf and chuck him across the Potomac. Karine Jean-Pierre was horrified by this. Elf chucking? That's not even legal. Not since the early days of the Howard Stern show has this nation put up with elf chucking. And by the way, who is Ron DeSantis that he can physically throw a federal employee all the way across the Potomac River, which is very wide in parts? And Karine Jean-Pierre knows that because she lives there. What is he, Hercules or something? This man is dangerous. Chucking an elf across the Potomac? And not only that, DeSantis just outed Tony Fauci as an elf. Elf, that's the word he used. Not an approved word. That's a threat to national security. It is indeed disinformation, probably Russian. Everyone knows that Tony Fauci is very tall. That's science. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Karine Jean-Pierre. So of all the jobs you could hire Karine Jean-Pierre for, a professional hand waver would be probably the first. If you need someone to wave a hand and look confused, she's at the top of your list. But if you need someone who can speak English in a fluent way and communicate ideas that the rest of us are able to understand, she might be at the very bottom of your list. But they hired her anyway. And the result is amazing. And as we said earlier, heartening. These are the leaders of the revolution. Today, for example, Karine Jean-Pierre defined the term extremist for us. You never hear that ever defined. But she defined it today from the podium. An extremist is anyone whose views differ from, we're quoting, the majority of Americans. So if your views are different from the majority, you're an extremist. So here's the best part. Karine Jean-Pierre works for a guy who's got a 38% approval rating. So the question before the class today is 38% less or more than the majority. Math is not Karine Jean-Pierre's strong suit. And of course, it's not her boss's strong suit either. Cognition is not his strong suit. This is the man who took orders from men in Easter Bunny costumes. This is the man who chose as his vice president someone who feels the need to say mankind and womankind as if they're completely separate categories. Watch this.
The Artemis program is the beginning of the next era of what we have a history and a tradition of doing, of providing vision and inspiring innovation in a way that is going to benefit all mankind and womankind.
Okay. So not only is it going to benefit mankind, you got to include the ladies here, womankind will benefit as well. Transkind, that goes without saying. Transkind always benefits when Joe Biden's president. So you have to wonder how different things might look if they had people with an IQ of over, say, 85 in positions of authority in the Biden White House. That would be really, really scary. But they don't. They don't at all. And if they had people serving them in the media who were smarter, they could probably get away with this kind of thing. They could convince people it's totally normal to use words like womankind. That would be terrifying if our media, if MSNBC were able to convince you that womankind was a thing. But thank heaven, the media, as annoying as they may be, lack self-awareness to the point that we don't have to worry at all. And to prove it, we have a dispatch from one of Joe Biden's most fervent supporters, someone who will definitely have a position in the coming revolution, and that would be Max Boot. Max Boot of the Washington Post, professional warmonger turned liberal professional warmonger. He just wrote a piece about how the real America is actually the most liberal America. We're just going to quote from the piece and let you assess. And keep in mind, this is part of the Biden Brain Trust. We're quoting. I've been spending time in some of the most liberal enclaves in America. First, Martha's Vineyard, where former President Barack Obama has a house. Bit of a bragger, Max Boot. And then, going back to the quote, Provincetown, Mass, an LGBTQ mecca where pride flags are ubiquitous. What did Max Boot do in Provincetown? We're not going to pry. We're merely quoting from the piece. And here it is. I even took my stepkids to a drag show. So if there is one sentence that kind of sums up the NPR revolution we're living through, and we're going to say it again, I took my stepkids to a drag show. Unfortunately, the stepkids were not interviewed about their perceptions of the drag show, but I took my stepkids to a drag show has got to be the greatest boast of all time. Can you say that? Have you taken your stepkids to a drag show? Probably not. But you know what Max Boot discovered from taking his stepkids to a drag show? And we're quoting, Provincetown is the real America. So is Martha's Vineyard. In fact, he said, we're still quoting because we can't stop ourselves. And of course, he can't stop himself. And we're quoting, they might be more representative of 2022 America than the Rust Belt diners where reporters love to take the pulse of Trumplandia. They're not taking their stepkids to drag shows at the Rust Belt diners, I'll tell you that. But they will when we're done with them. They're probably not going to get there. Max Boot is going to be too distracted. Well, they're drag shows every weekend. You can take your stepkids to drag shows all over the country. So he's not going to have time to affect this revolution. It was pretty therapeutic reading all of this. All you have to do is pay close attention to them. Listen to what they say, read what they write, and a calm comes over you. They're so dumb, they probably can't hurt you. We can't stop ourselves. Here's another example.
He's finally calling out Republican semi-fascist behavior. Where has this version of Joe Biden been hiding all along? Was his semi-fascism label, in your opinion, unfounded?
Absolutely not.
The Republican Party of today, under Donald Trump, is a semi-fascist party.
President Biden did the right thing. He did the right thing by challenging them and calling them a mega-fascist, semi-fascist mentality.
What do you think about the president calling millions of Americans semi-fascist?
Listen, he's got to express and be honest about what he feels in his heart and his soul.
And now he's out saying two things. One, lots of y'all are fascists. And by the way, if you vote Republican, there's a decent chance that our democracy is no longer going to exist.
I got to tell you, Scott, a lot of folks would go, where's the lie? I don't see it. No lies detected.
Saying semi-fascist leads me only to the question, what's semi about that? It's full-on fascism.
That's the brain trust, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, why only semi-fascist? Why not full fascist? And what's the difference, Joe Scarborough? Talk to us more about criminal behavior. I find it really reassuring. But the point, of course, is that journalism is when you repeat what the people in power say verbatim, and then you congratulate them for their insight. So how does the rest of the world see this? Now, we play these clips all the time, and, you know, they're annoying. But if you were taking a cold, calculated look at the people in charge of the United States, if you were a foreign adversary and you're thinking, what are we up against? What would you make of this? Imagine being in the Taliban 2 years ago, you're a Taliban commander, and you happen to flip on MSNBC, and you think to yourself, this is America's news media? Really? I mean, my native language is Urdu, and even I can tell these people are freaking stupid. But their Secretary of State must be impressive, right? He's the Secretary of State. Let's check on YouTube, and here's what you find. Imagine being the Taliban with their turbans and their AKs, and Tony Blinken starts wagging his finger at them. Oh, you must release the hostages or else. Or else what, pal? Well, it turns out, nothing. Taliban gets to keep our tanks and our helicopters, and Tony Blinken goes back to performing Hoochie Coochie Man. Did he take his stepkid to the drag show this weekend? Probably. They all did. We should tell you that all these people on MSNBC and at the State Department, officially or not, work for Joe Biden. So the dumbness may flow downhill like certain other fluid matters. Joe Biden doesn't even appear to realize that his military, his Pentagon, which he oversees, lost the withdrawal from Afghanistan. In fact, it was just this week that Joe Biden claimed very loudly that Americans would need personal F-15s if they wanted to overpower the U.S. government. Oh, ho, ho! There's no way you can beat us. You're not sophisticated enough. You're not illiterate, sandal-wearing militia in the poorest country in the world. There's no way. And he made that argument with such confidence, you have to wonder if anyone told him what happened in Kabul. Let's look back. Oh, last year. He also doesn't appear to realize that he's accusing unarmed January 6 protesters of nearly toppling American democracy for good. Really? If you're afraid of Ashley Babbitt, so afraid you have to shoot her in the neck and murder her, then you probably don't feel very secure. So these are not people who believe they're strong, is the truth. And watching this, it's kind of fascinating, actually. And on some level, it's reassuring, because again, they're weak and afraid. Our plus-size defense secretary promises to crack down on Joe Biden's political opponents. Oh, extremism, white supremacy. Then he flies around the world in a spacesuit. And then he gets COVID anyway. Now to show you how strong he is and to strike terror in the hearts of our adversaries, he's issuing powerful new regulations requiring senior leaders in the military to stop using gendered pronouns. Well, that'll show them. We've got diversity. Back off! So you can no longer use the terms he or she or male or female. According to the Washington Free Beacon, which got the military's order, the U.S. Pacific Air Forces, responsible for containing China, believe that eliminating gender pronouns will improve the military's, quote, lethality. Diversity is lethality. Now, of course, on one level, it's terrifying because, no, this is a sign of buffoonery and weakness, and the rest of the world is laughing at us and making calculations accordingly. But it's probably good news for you as the subject of Joe Biden's coming crackdown, because when they come to arrest you for your thought crimes, they're going to have no idea what you look like. The warrant won't say. It'll identify you as they, them, or maybe Xi Zhur. You can imagine the confusion. At that point, it's easy to get out of it. You simply identify with a straight face as pansexual, two-spirit, and indigenous. And at that point, they will slink away in shame. You're safe. Diversity was your shield. But the best news of all, for all of us in this country, is that Lori Lightfoot inevitably will occupy some elevated position in Joe Biden's coming revolution. How do we know? Because she's the single worst mayor in the country. She's stupid, she's mean, she's openly racist. So, of course, she is due for a big promotion in the Biden regime. Now, you might remember that when the previous administration started enforcing federal immigration law, Lori Lightfoot cut off ICE's access to city databases. Quote, Chicago will always be a welcoming city and a champion for the rights of our immigrant and refugee communities. Communities that didn't actually live here at the time. They lived in other countries because they're foreign nationals. They're not Americans. But Lori Lightfoot took a position anyway, and she took it in the most affirmative possible way. To behave differently, she insisted at the time, and we're quoting, would be cruel, and you know what the word is. You know what's coming, don't you? Racist. Well, this week, the governor of Texas decided to test Lori Lightfoot's commitment to anti-racism. He began transporting illegal aliens from the border in Texas all the way to Chicago. And why wouldn't he do that? Lori Lightfoot has said emphatically she wants them in her city. She's not a racist. You're the racist. So these migrants showed up. How did Lori Lightfoot respond? Well, Lori Lightfoot's administration declared that this plan is, do you know the answer? Can you guess? Pick up the pen, write it down, no cheating. Racist. So it's racist not to want illegal aliens in your city, and it's racist when people send them. So take three steps back. What's happening here? This is really a recruitment experience. No one in the history of politics has created single-handedly more right-wingers than Lori Lightfoot. Imagine her in her new position in the Biden administration, screaming on NPR every morning, Biden state broadcaster, to tell you whether she's decided whether you can use your electric car today or not. Can we drive our electric car today? I don't know. Let's tune in to Minister Lightfoot. She'll tell us. Everyone knows that's coming. And if there's anything that will provoke a counter-revolution, it's that. So we're going to be fine. Lori Lightfoot may have genocidal impulses. She definitely does. But like the rest of our leaders, she is too stupid to pull them off. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly opens, stories that are changing the world and changing your life, from Tucker Carlson Tonight.